This episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. Save 10% on your entire order by using the coupon code AC10 at checkout.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It is episode number 243 for Friday, July 3rd, 2015. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nakinson. Let's just get straight to it, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. I was just looking it up, actually. I did know what day it was, though. I have that going for me, which is nice.
It's a good start. Not always a given at the start of the podcast.
It's really not. Not especially this week. I mean, it's a holiday week. It's America Day. We had a Canada Day earlier this week. Alex, were there any weird British holidays this week?
You see, I was going to try and come up with one on the fly, but I'm just going to say no. We don't have anything weird.
It would have been perfect to have like Gryffindor Day.
Yeah, the running joke is the 4th of July over here is Good Riddance Day. I don't know if I can roll that one out again. But no, nothing over here. It's just a Friday over here, unfortunately.
Could have totally just made one up, and we never.
I should have had that prepared. That's on me.
So yeah, it's a holiday week. I'm wearing a t-shirt. I got my Reading Rainbow shirt on this week. Woo! The shirt gets a lot of love. There's a lot of Reading Rainbow fans out there still. Just saying.
Reading Rainbow's good stuff.
Take a look. It's in a book.
Don't take Andrew's word for it. No, I mean, really.
Saying I don't read books. Saying I don't know what Reading Rainbow
Man,
is.
Man, I miss reading books. Just ever since I started reading for a living, reading books just isn't quite as much
fun. Darn internet came about.
Then there's that thing. So, what should we do this week? What do I have on here? Nexus 9. We'll talk about that a little bit. I do want to talk about this, but let's start with this. So, EvLeaks, put out the picture of this BlackBerry Venice. That's the code name. And we've actually seen this device before, right? I think. Or was that just a picture of a BlackBerry slider that cracked your head up? And it was like a BlackBerry slider.
I thought that this was different because I remember a couple different opportunities. BlackBerry is kind of like somebody stood on stage and kind of just flashed a phone and you didn't know what it was or what software was on it. And then now we have this render of something that kind of looks...
Okay, that was I just found it. That's a BlackBerry 10 different slider that they like somebody just held up at MWC back in February. So that's what that is. This render, right, though, renders always look better than the phones do, I think. But it doesn't look horrible.
So it kind of, is it just me or does it have like a curved screen GSX Edge thing going on?
That's what everybody said.
Or is that just kind of renders trying to look fancy?
Yeah, I mean, renders are exactly that, renders. They're not, you know, maybe you'll work from a photo, but generally they're put together in Photoshop at a massive resolution and then downscaled. And that's why they look a little bit more surreal and, you know, a little bit more polished than any real device would.
But the interesting thing here is that it's kind of a svelte, modern-looking device, and it has all of these, as a Google Now launcher on it, and Google apps in the app tray.
That, to me,
we're looking at the Nexus 5.
BlackBerry's making the 2015 Nexus 5.
Can you imagine?
Wouldn't that be an amazing twist? The 2015 Nexus 5 was made by BlackBerry.
That's so
the
wrong.
B logo on the back.
That is so wrong. We're gonna get in so much trouble.
Wait, why is that wrong? Why would that be a bad thing?
I don't
BlackBerry
think you want
is a hardware OEM that could bid on the Nexus project and build one.
But that's what we said. That's what we said before LG got a Nexus. And
you have a point. That's right.
I kind of feel like BlackBerry is a bit of a special case, though, right?
Oh, I don't think it's going to happen.
For BlackBerry's first Android phone to be a development target Nexus device would be pretty hilarious.
By the way, for all the Taylor Swift hate we got last week, I think we're going to be able to top it from the BlackBerry fans this week. Wow.
I don't know. I think more people... I am. You know what? I'm going to shut up.
Someone's listening to this podcast now. Some Taylor Swift fan with a Taylor Swift wallpaper on their BlackBerry phone. And it's going to be a bad night for them.
The internet is just going to explode. Reddit's going to shut down. No, Reddit's already shut down.
No, they're back up already.
Are they back up?
The attention, fan of the internet.
The backup, yeah. They're still mad, apparently.
So on the face of it, does it actually... It's not that crazy to think that they're going to come out with this device on AT&T like they've come out with so many other kind of one-off devices on AT&T. Oh, it's going to go to the same carrier as the...
As the failed the Fire phones and the... Yeah, the Amazon Fire phone and the failed Facebook. What is it about AT&T and just...
Well, you know, even the BlackBerry Torch was kind of a failure.
Kind of?
That was an AT&T phone.
You want to know what it is about AT&T? AT&T is the only carrier that goes, sure, we'll put your thing on our network for a buttload of money.
Yeah.
But hey, Verizon had the kin, so AT&T can't ever take that away from them.
That's true.
I mean, there's really been nothing... There's been no reason for as long as Android has existed that BlackBerry couldn't make an Android phone. The only reason that people are surprised now is because they've been so dead set against it for so long. But
Okay,
the way things are going, go ahead.
So what do you get with a BlackBerry? What do you get with a BlackBerry phone running Android? Is it still a BlackBerry phone? And B, we'll talk about the keyboard in a minute.
Well, what you get is you allow BlackBerry to bake their extras into the software and still have Google Play the way it's supposed to be and not trying to make apps work from the Android or Amazon App Store.
And BlackBerry already makes, on the enterprise side, their Bez server and all their MDM management stuff all works on Android and iOS already.
Yep.
So they would have no problem deploying Android phones in the enterprise, but they would come pre-installed with their stuff, just like Samsung does it with Knox. Yep. They could pre-install all of their home and work stuff. And they already work a lot with Android compatibility in terms of BB10 already running Android apps in a wrapper, but they already know how to do that. They have BBM for Android and iOS. It doesn't seem that crazy to me, and it just takes... I mean, the time to do this would have been instead of launching BB10. I think agree with that.
Yeah.
Going with BB10 and then potentially scrapping it and going with this would be kind of crazy. Almost as crazy as simultaneously running Android and BB10, like on separate devices, that would be just as bad. But
I think in terms of like a strategic thing for BlackBerry, this could be... Like you imagine, maybe 5 years down the line, if and when the current pairing of BB7 and BB10 they currently have, if that eventually just evaporates, this is a route out of that for them. They can, but you know, over the course of the next few years, bake all their custom stuff into Android, effectively just become another Android OEM and still differentiate themselves with the security stuff.
And think about it. Android still gives them the opportunity to do this. They could still do a unified messaging app. They could still do good email. They could still do their enterprise data containers. All that stuff could still happen with Android, but they wouldn't be burdened with having to manage the OS stuff as much.
Or the app side of things, pay developers to port apps over or handle the whole Android runtime side of things on top of their own OS.
And as long as their first Android phone isn't something with like a 1x1 screen or something stupid like that, if it's a standard kind of form factor that works with Android natively, then they wouldn't have to worry about extra hurdles either.
You got to imagine this coming out on AT&T, the kind of devices BlackBerry's been fielding lately, it'll be probably reasonable-ish mid-range specs. Nothing spectacular, but it'll be targeted at that person that is maybe just coming out of the BlackBerry ecosystem, what's kind of a stepping stone towards a different sort of OS. And they can get all the BlackBerry stuff they're used to and a much, much better selection of apps and probably better performance as well on top of that.
So that makes it make sense for BlackBerry, but what about from the consumer side? Who's going to select this over your standard HTC, LG, Samsung, whatever?
Well, we keep forgetting, we are forgetting that BlackBerry's always been, they cater to the enterprise. This could be a phone that your IT manager will buy 400 of and deploy to all his salesmen, because the salesmen are complaining that the current BlackBerry they have doesn't do this, doesn't do that, doesn't do this. And the IT guys are saying, well, your Android phones and your iPhones aren't as secure and don't do this and don't do this. This could be a meeting of those two minds. The Android security model, it's got a bad name, but that's because we break the sandbox and break the security ourselves. BlackBerry could easily lock that down, and an app is allowed to do certain things and only certain things, and the user can't change it, and the device could be very secure. You add in BlackBerry's server-side security, make a nice client that works on Android with any options the user needs to see, and boom, you have a device you can deploy that is safe, holds all of the company's data securely, and the dude can play games on it, the guy that has to carry it around. That's a win, in my opinion.
So
it's also really important to keep in mind that while in theory they're losing some hurdles by not having to shoehorn Android stuff into BlackBerry 10, they're gaining a whole lot of new and different hurdles by dealing with Android natively. I mean, there are firmware things that even as a, you know, almost stock Android phone, BlackBerry has to shoulder the responsibility of. And what we've seen more than anything in this past generation with Snapdragon 810 and Snapdragon 808 stuff is that it's not easy to get that right the first time. And
Brian, we've definitely learned problems. That from other, especially the Chinese manufacturers. You can't just throw AOSP on a phone. There's tons of optimization you have to do. I guess that's a good point, that you don't get all that stuff for free. You do get the application stuff.
On the other side of things, we're dealing with a company that has a long, long history of making these kinds of devices, and potentially they can learn very quickly about how Google does things based on the decades of experience they have.
I would also want to go out on a limb and say that there are people at Google on the Android project who would be more than happy to devote a lot of time to help BlackBerry make something like this happen.
So what about the idea of going back to it? I say going back like it's regressive. I don't think it's necessarily regressive, but a phone with a physical keyboard. It's been a long time since we've seen one.
I don't think you need it anymore, but if they feel like doing it, hey, sure.
Have you ever used a phone with one?
Oh, yeah. I miss my G2.
I hate to use the word need, but I'm in the idea you can't deny that some tasks are much better done with a real keyboard. I'm not going to say you need one, because you're right, you don't need one anymore. But if you're that guy who has to answer 200 emails on the subway every morning, you're going to like that keyboard.
And really, no, I think we've reached the point now where literally no one else is doing them. It used to be LG would have some weird mid-range slider that would be released on Sprint or something, and that would be it. You know, the Droid line is now, the original Droid line is well and truly dead. Really, no one else is making Android devices with keyboards. And if that's a niche market that they can jump into, then they basically have no competition.
Is it a niche market that's sustainable, though? Because, I mean, for the same reasons you just said, we've seen people try it before and nothing stuck.
I mean, look, is anything BlackBerry does sustainable?
Well, then there's that.
It can't be the only device that they do. I think they saw that already with doing their classic alongside their other devices that are more of a standard phone form factor versus a standard BlackBerry form factor. They're going to have to do both. I don't think that they're going to be able to come out with something that looks like a bigger BlackBerry Torch and call that their one shot at the U.S. market. That's just really not going to work.
I'll tell you what, if they bring out a BlackBerry Torch that runs Android with modern internals, I'm buying it in a heartbeat.
That was the question, and I was going to, you know, say it's the ultimate question for us, but maybe it's not. You know, would you buy one? And Jerry, you were a BlackBerry user before, right?
Yep. I gave up on BlackBerry when they switched gears and went towards a more consumer side, because the reason I loved BlackBerry is how easy it was to communicate. They changed the way that did, and it didn't work for me as well, and Android worked. So I gave up on BlackBerry then, but
Now, what do you mean when you say they made it easy to communicate? You mean BBM? Do you mean something else?
No, I mean their managed email clients. Mm-hmm. The keyboard was a big plus. It's not just a physical keyboard. You can enter shortcuts. Like, I can put PN, and that's phil@androidcentral.com. Comes up if I just hit the letters PN. It made you productive.
The trackball and the trackpad were huge as well.
They moved away from that, and it didn't suit me anymore, so I moved away. But if they could combine the best of that with the best of what Android has to offer, and I think they can. We're all feeling really skeptical, and I know I've said a lot of things about BlackBerry in the past, but I think Google and BlackBerry are capable of getting together and making something that, for me, will be great. I just hope they do it, because I'm there. I am right there.
And, I mean, no matter what their actual intentions are, you know, how far they intend to go with this Android thing, or if it's just a one or two device strategy or what. It's probably a better shot than continuing to release BB10 devices that aren't getting any traction.
Yeah,
might as well try it.
It's a potential future path for them, you know, continuing to make smartphones, right? Of eventually, if their own ecosystem dies off, this is something else they can pursue.
But how many stories have we seen that says BlackBerry is no longer a hardware company? They're just going to be a software services company.
And that,
I mean, here they are still selling hardware.
But it's my understanding that they're not actually making it, you know, overseeing the production of their own hardware anymore. I could be wrong.
They've started to move that elsewhere as well.
Yeah, it, like a Foxconn thing. You know, they just send drawings to Foxconn instead of managing their own factories in Venezuela or Canada or wherever. That's not good. I mean, you can't say that every phone BlackBerry ever built themselves was wonderful, especially if you ever used the Storm. Russell knows. But that's, Foxconn can make good phones. Look at some of the phones they make. I don't want to write it off because BlackBerry isn't actually building the hardware in a tiny shed in Waterloo.
Like Russell said, it's going to come down to how they can actually get Android tuned up for the hardware, the way they design it. That's going to be way more important. And the way that they put their own apps and things like that on top of it.
I still have just no desire to use BBM at all, ever.
I don't either.
I don't.
Well, hey, it's been available on Android for how long now?
Oh, I know.
We don't use it already, so that's not going to change.
And you know what? If it had become cross-platform when it needed to be cross-platform, we might be using it. We moved away, and, you know, the only people that used BBM for years were people with a BlackBerry, and that number continued to get smaller and smaller. Now, I don't want to switch back. I don't want to go back to something, you know, that doesn't do anything more than the stuff I already have, so I don't even care.
I already don't get messages. God, I was in some monster, group, what do you call it? It's not iChat, is it anymore? What are they?
Hell.
iMessage. Basically, yeah, iMessage, yeah, because my wife uses it, and, you know, a lot of our friends have it and stuff, but, like, I was in
put on an iMessage canoe.
Is that still just a Google Voice thing that doesn't do group messages?
Google Voice doesn't handle group messaging at all.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
I'm adding Phil to a couple of my hangouts. You're going to be sorry.
You just get half the conversation. So it's like, I don't know what's going on. Well, when we get closer to this thing actually being real, I want to bring on some of the Crackberry guys. We'll get Chris and maybe Kevin on.
And if it's real, at this point, it's just a leaked render and some background that may or may not happen.
Well, I mean, I think if you're getting to the point of leaked renders that are pretty obviously probably coming from AT&T, from inside AT&T, then, yeah.
Hey, let me be skeptical.
here's one last question for me. I mean, is this yet another example of BlackBerry doing something too late? I mean, we all talk about you're releasing BB10 too late, not pivoting away from your BBM being platform only too late. Is switching to Android too late just, the last thing they're going to have to do?
We won't know.
It's going to make a lot of business people really happy. But outside of that, and that's not to downplay that market, because I think it's an important market and there's still a lot of people out there, but in the scheme of things, is it big enough? I think that's the question. I mean
the whole enterprise market has been eroded by Samsung and Apple anyway, and that's been happening for years now, you know, compared to the timing of whenever this thing might be released.
If it's real and I buy one, I'm going to start wearing fitted shirts and ties to the podcast.
That'd be awesome. That would make it worth it right there.
And my chef hat.
Do you think it would launch with an older version of Android too?
I'm afraid it will.
Yeah.
I'm afraid
Out with KitKat.
I think it would not surprise me at all to see something like that launch with
KitKat. It's going
to
come out with M because this is the Nexus 5. You guys aren't listening.
But I think the scariest thing is that it'll probably come out with Android 5.0.2, which is a very problematic build for anything.
Is that their current app compatibility layer in BB10? I would think it would match whatever, you know, the most recent stable release of the app compatibility layer.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I would like to think if they're not going super customized, and if they obviously have a lot of Google stuff in there, then maybe they might prioritize being, if not on the cutting edge, because you don't always want to be on the cutting edge, especially if you value stability. but at least being relatively timely with not being an entire platform version or two behind. Of course, if you value security, there's no point in being a year behind where most of the security updates are.
Unless you're building the security updates yourself, and I hope they're not going that path. You know, they could take the code and put more security into 4.4 if they wanted to. Let's hope they don't have those kind of ideas in their head.
Well, we'll get deeper into that once we get closer. And again, I will want to bring in, you know, the Crackberry guys who actually know more about this than I do, certainly. Definitely more than Andrew. Come on.
Make Andrew review it if it's real.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm not doing it. No, we'll all do all right. I tell you, I'm trying to decide. It's about time for me to have a new iPhone around here. So I'm going to wait for the 6S, which I assume will be the 6S. But like, I'm kind of looking forward to trying it again. It's been a couple years.
I've already got a 6 with this snazzy blue cover on mine.
How about that? We'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of excited about that. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk Nexus 9 for a minute. How about that? Does that sound good?
Sure.
Sounds good.
Show of hands. Seconded. Moved. Voted. Whatever. Be right back. Shaving can be a pain. It's uncomfortable, it can cause razor burn and nicks, and on top of that, it can be outrageously expensive. Harry's.com can help with that. Harry's is about half the price of other big branded blades, and they ship for free to your front doorstep. And they're better too. The first blades were made in Germany, and they liked them so much that Harry's just bought the entire factory there. So why would you ever pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades ever again? It's half the price at Harry's, and with Harry's, you get a better shave that respects your skin and your face and your legs, and especially your wallet. No more poor quality blades, and no more pesky plexiglass cabinets to unlock either. And it's an even smarter deal if you're like me and you don't shave every day. If you have an exquisite beard like me and Jerry, well, you'll save that much more money with Harry's. Plus, you can't beat having everything delivered right to your doorstep. And once you get things inside, you'll really be surprised just how good everything looks and how good it makes you feel. And the starter set is an amazing deal. For just $15, you get a razor moisturizing shave cream and 3 razor blades. And be sure to use promo code AC when you check out so you can get $5 off your first order. Men and women, we all need razors that shave well and don't suck. So check out Harry's.com and be sure to use promo code AC when you check out. I like that little Lloyd over there in the corner. Oh, wrong finger. There he is. If you're watching the video. Look at that.
On your window?
Yeah.
In the window, yeah.
I don't have a nameplate at my door or anything. I just have that. Delivered to the green Android guy.
What else do you need?
So Nexus 9, I wrote a little thing this week saying we can finally recommend it. And I know I just kind of internally we yelled at each other a little bit about having a pretty clear defining line between the Royal We editorials and then what those of us like individually. And I completely blew that up for this piece a little bit. But I have no problem saying now that we can recommend the Nexus 9.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Completely, and have been using it since launch, and it's night and day than it was when it first released.
It really is. And I mean, the hardware to me has always been pretty solid considering, you know, it's the only thing. Is it the only thing we have out there running K1? I mean, we got a couple other little things. Shield tablet, I guess.
Shield tablet. But you're talking about the internal hardware?
Yeah. I mean, start with that. It was a little, I don't want to say thermally because that just sounds dumb, but you know, it was running a little hot for me at first. And I don't know if I got used to it or if they're managing that better now.
I mean, for me, I preface this by saying I've never used it on 5.0, only ever used it on 5.1. But you do notice it getting hot, but the heat is very localized. It's kind of,
right.
It sits around the camera and never really moves to the place where you'd be holding a tablet, really.
You can tell where the bigger heat sink should be.
Yeah.
That's the way I like to think of it. And even on Android M, and I've got one of them here I've been running the preview build on, still gets hot, same spot.
But I think that's better than it used to be.
Sure. I'm not saying it's as bad, but it still gets hot there. I mean, that's probably physics. It's so thin.
Sure.
And it's got such a high power-hungry. And, you know, the K1, you can, it'll sit battery if you just do a few little light things with it. But Phil and Alex, you're using it. I mean, you know, if you fire up a game, you can watch the battery meter drop. That thing is power hungry if you're really working it.
But it's also powerful.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Externally, I know in the pictures you can see I had some, not necessarily gashes, but like...
It looks like you drug that thing by now.
It's,
you
well,
used that thing in a fight against Colombian drug lords.
So okay? I've got that magnetic cover on it, right? And then it just sits in my bag when I'm traveling and stuff. And
if you haven't seen Phil's gear bag, there's a lot of stuff in there.
I am not, you know...
One day at Google I.O., he pulled out a monkey wrench and a pina colada from that gear bag.
I am not the most organized person. It's organized chaos.
If you ever see Phil with his messenger bag, just walk up to him and say, hey, can I have one of those phones in there? And he'll pull out one of 15 just out of a pocket.
So, no, I mean, I'm not surprised that I've... You know, scratch this one up a pretty good amount. So I don't really fault anyone but myself for that. I think it's held up pretty well for that. And honestly, that magnetic case, and I think they changed names because I could swear it was called a magic cover when it first came out. I went back and looked at the post, and it doesn't say magic anywhere anymore.
It's not magic; it's just
a magnet. Yeah, but that thing held up better than I thought. It's I worried about it coming off in the bag, but I don't think it ever really has. So
it's still kind of annoying how it's just like a
floppy.
It's working around Patton's version of the iPhone cover, but for a
very much screen, what's on the Shield tablet too.
Yeah, for a basic thing that will protect your screen in a bag and also prop it up on a tray table or whatever, it does the job perfectly.
Mm-hmm. But for me, the biggest change has really been on the software in 5.1, and it used to be I would. You know, go a couple weeks and then it would just grind to a halt. And I've hard reset this thing a few times. We've talked about this before. But in 5.1, I've been going, how long has it been since that came out? I was in Miami when that came out. So
it's like
more than a month now, I think.
Oh yeah. It's been more than a month.
A little more than a month. And, it's running like a champ now. So, I mean, it used to be you'd hit the home button and wait, 10 seconds. For it to actually go back to the home screen or changing ad, it was bad. And I get that not everybody was having this problem, but a lot of people did. Do you think that was just a pure software problem, or do you think there's some software hardware mix here?
There's no such thing as a pure software problem, sure. Right? It always has to work through the hardware. And I think we all know that the 64-bit side of Android was a bit janky right until 5.1, right?
The interesting thing I can say is that I've got the Shield tablet, so basically the same processor and RAM, and on 5.0 it was the same way as the Nexus 9. It's super basic things for some reason would just bog down, like you hit the home button and you wait a couple seconds, you hit the multitasking key and you wait a couple seconds, and there was some general interface dropping frames and things, and as soon as it hit 5.1 is the same way. It's like a whole new tablet. It just screams, and the interface doesn't lag. Apps are, the thing on 5.0 is before is that it's a very powerful processor. You could open up apps and the games would perform well, but there was still this weird interface jank and just delay. And that's not there anymore on the Shield tablet on 5.1 also.
So how are you guys finding it in terms of app reloads, just the basic loading things from RAM memory kind of thing? Because I think one of the things I've noticed over the past month or so using it is it seems like with 2 gigs, maybe it's pushing it a little bit, and it would maybe be more comfortable with 3. Is that something you found?
Yes,
as well?
Absolutely. And that's going to get worse. People say, well, Android needs 3 gigs of RAM. And then we say, no, it doesn't. But when you have a screen density that tight, it does. It stores these images in your RAM. And by images, I don't mean like a screenshot of your screen. It stores graphic assets, and as those get bigger, those take more RAM. And if you've got 3 or 4 apps running in memory that are busy and filling the RAM up a lot, it's gonna be apparent. I absolutely agree that 3 gigabytes would have been better in the Nexus 9.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else about it. I can't think of any time I've wanted to use these cameras. I mentioned that in the post. Like, and occasionally I would call Jerry, like, so we could talk to the kids or something in Hangouts, and just the video quality is so crappy. And I don't know if that's the tablet or if it's just Hangouts in general or both.
Well, I mean, the front-facing camera isn't going to be, it's not very good on any device. It's really not going to be that good on something that's a bigger piece of hardware and it costs less than a phone, you know, that front facing camera is just not going to be that great.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a total non-starter.
But it should be more than that, though, because you take the most basic Chromebook from 3 years ago and do a video hangout with it. It's miles better than the best Android smartphone's front facing camera is. Your Galaxy S6, for example, is going to have better hardware in the front facing camera and not do nearly as good a job as your old Acer Chromebook. And I don't understand why, but there's a reason somewhere.
Yeah, there's something about it. But I mean, all things being equal, I'm now like, before I could not tell somebody to buy it, just that software to me killed it. And you cannot, you know, you cannot have that much time go between hitting a home button and getting to the home screen and among the other things. But at this point, I mean, what is the best Android tablet out there? We talk about this internally a lot, but it's such a weird space.
About the Nexus 9 specifically, I mean, so you're talking about a tablet that now is 8 months after release, mm-hmm. still costs $399. Are you really going to recommend it? I mean, against the field, obviously you can still like, you can finally recommend that as this tablet, if you want a larger form factor, 4x3, you like the accessories, you can recommend it as a product. Do you recommend it as a value proposition versus the other options?
I think I would, just because it's a Nexus tablet and I know it's going to get updated before, certainly before the Dell ones will. and otherwise Dell might be what I'd say take a look at.
I'm a software guy, and nothing infuriates me more than software that doesn't work as it's designed. Sometimes I give the Nexus line too much of a pass because I know it's going to get fixed. But even your bare bones Nexus device often debuts with software that doesn't work very well. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a tablet, man, my wife's little Tab S 8.4. I'm sorry. The software on it is just, it grates my eyes. It's so colorful. It's so horribly convoluted. But things like split screen and, you know, the little memo app that Samsung includes on a tablet that I'm not carrying around every day and I want more features on, that's where I would have to go if I were buying new tablets.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the next gen of Samsung tablets. I don't think you would want to buy into the Tab S line at this point, given where we are on the life cycle. But yeah, if you're buying that largest form factor tablet, do you want just the full screen app experience that you got on the Nexus? Or actually, you know, there's all this fuss about in iOS 9 on certain tablets, you can now have split screen view. Samsung does that and a whole lot more. And on a tablet, that's way more attractive than it is on a phone.
Exactly. I will forgive all the crap that I hate on her tablet when I'm using it, just because of the few things that are perfect for that bigger screen experience.
Which generation is that tablet? Because I can't keep all of Samsung's tablets straight.
Like middle of last year.
Okay.
Middle of last year. That's the latest.
Is that the one that you and I were in New York for?
Yes.
Okay.
The 8.4 and the 10.5, it's got that leather back and they're super light and have the great AMOLED screens on them.
I remember
basically right around the time. So it's basically right around the time where now we're expecting a new version of that.
Right.
Right.
So wait and see.
Right. Okay.
But yes, Samsung does release a lot of tablets. So.
Okay. So there's that.
Well, one more thing. Yes. I mean, Andrew hit it. We say best. You have a price point involved too. That Samsung tablet isn't cheap. The Nexus 9 isn't cheap. I would tell anybody looking, don't look at the you know, Nvidia tablets. Last year's model, you know, they had two of them last year. The Shield is pretty doggone amazing. If your budget is between $200 and $400, you want to make sure you look at that too.
Right. And even when we looked at when I reviewed the Shield tablet, it was still, you know, that was still where the Nexus 7 2013 didn't look too old mid last mm-hmm. year. And we were talking about the price is a little high on that for $299, another $40 or whatever if you want to put in the cover. So, you know, again, you're looking at a price issue there, but you're also talking about $100 less than what the Nexus 9 sells for.
Do you think we're going to get a new Nexus tablet come, you know, October-ish, like we have almost sort of every year? Or do you think we ride this one?
I hope not.
If they're talking about doing two phones, and I say they, I mean, it, because we're talking about them doing two phones, as far as the rumor mill goes, it seems unlikely that they would do another tablet. And it's also important to keep in mind that this was significant because it was the first in the 64-bit lineup, you know, as far as a Nexus goes. So it's when we think about the phones that are coming out next, the phones that are coming out next from a technological standpoint are catching up to the Nexus 9. Mm.
And we did and that's go an important distinction. 16 or 17 months between the Nexus 7 2013 and then the Nexus 9 as well.
I think I think what's more likely is we'll see the Nexus 9 come down to a point maybe where the Nexus 7 2013 was when it launched, where it is a really compelling tablet because they've worked out all the software kinks, and also now it's suddenly really cheap. I think that's more likely.
Everybody forgets that the Nexus 7 was an out of cycle, so to speak. It didn't release alongside the phone of the year.
Right.
I just know they've got the software on the right path now. I'm going to tell you, if you like Nexus tablets, if you like a larger tablet, yeah, your money is well spent. But I want them to get it perfect. If they release another tablet and start perfecting everything for their new tablet, we have to wait for that to trickle back down to what used to be the new tablet. And I just hate that. I would like to see a 2-year release cycle on all Nexus products.
Well, maybe you'll get an OTA that bricks your Nexus 9 like everybody's Nexus 7 is going to be doing. Problem solved.
Wow. Oh, man. Where's my Q&A? Let's do a little Q&A real quick. How about that? Mike wants to know, is the Shield tablet the best 7-incher currently available?
Yes.
Well, it's an 8-incher, but...
I would say the best of like that size.
The best smaller tablet. Yeah. It doesn't print in your hand much larger than the Nexus 7 did.
Would you include the 6-month-old Dell in that, because that's kind of around that 8-inch mark, isn't it?
I like that tablet, but it doesn't game nearly as well. And let's be perfectly honest, when you get to that 7-inch range, they're not productivity devices, they're entertainment devices. So, you know, keeping entertainment in mind, I would definitely say that the Shield Tab is probably the better money spent because of the additional functionality that NVIDIA builds in there.
Right, the screen isn't as good, but the speakers are really good, and having that little the little flip stand from an entertainment standpoint that can, you know, just go in a little triangle and let you sit there and watch it or use the game controller with it, you know, that's a big deal for that size of device, and it's very easy to just throw in your bag.
And
it's small.
The company that makes the Shield tablet also did all the original hardware development on the Nexus 9. They know what they're doing, and they instantly update it.
And it's gone from launching with KitKat to getting 5.0 quickly and 5.1 quickly as well.
I was going to say, did it almost get it faster than the Nexus 9, but no.
Could check. It was pretty close.
It's real close, yeah.
1.1 on this one.
I'm going to say it was at the same time, maybe a few days difference.
And I have the LTE version, and it's only a couple days behind, if any, behind the Wi-Fi version too, which is not something you can say about the Nexus 7 cellular versions.
Let's see if there are any more questions on the tablet stuff. No. Okay. I'll tell you what, let's take one more break. And we'll come back. We won't go long this week. We've been gone long. We've been gone like almost an hour and a half. So many weeks now. It's crazy. It's crazy, man. A few more things to talk about. Russell and I might have some hats to put on, too. So we'll do that. We'll be right back. Today's episode of the Android Central podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. And that's good news for you because you can go to Lynda.com, that's Lynda.com/Android, and get a 10-day free trial to learn some useful and awesome stuff. Now, Lynda.com has a wide range of in-depth subjects to choose from, and you'll have unlimited access to all of them. If you want to learn how to code, Lynda's got whatever programming language you'd like to learn. If you're already a hotshot, they've got classes on new frameworks so you can stay on top of your game. Maybe you're more of a visual creative kind of person. Well, they've got levels for all courses on Photoshop, Illustrator, photography, and even 3D animation programs. And for those of you who are looking to be more productive, Lynda has classes about small businesses, managing your time, and maybe you just want to get out of a personal rut. Well, they've got a class for that too. But you don't even have to choose, since you'll have access to all of the courses and they add new ones each week. So go to Lynda.com, again, that's Lynda.com/Android, for a free 10-day trial and to get started on something. They've got way more than we could possibly mention here. So your best option is just to go and look around the site for a little while. Chances are you'll find something that's right for you. That's lynda.com/android for a free 10-day trial.
Oh, balls.
Poor Russell.
I didn't mean to leave, I swear.
Russell's looks sillier than mine does, by the way.
No.
No?
No, I'm sorry. There's a level of silliness. Once you go past it, it doesn't matter who looks sillier, and you both have exceeded it.
If you're not watching the video, you'll have to go back and watch the video later. I think Russell's is better. So Russell's wearing the Gear VR for what, the Note 4?
Apparently.
Dang it, I've got to grab mine now.
Andrew feels left out. I picked up a GoPro finally. It's the cheap one, the $130 one. And this thing, this little flap clip thing that keeps it all together, is the most frustrating thing I've seen in a long time. Like, I get why it has to be strong, but holy crap, it's tough to undo.
That's a perch for a canary, so you know when the gas is too high in your coal mine.
All right, so the reason I'm wearing this is I was playing with the HTC Recamera this week. I was swimming with my kids and having a good time with it. And I was like, all right, the big thing when it came out was, oh, HTC is trying to be GoPro. I mean, I can easily say in the first 5 minutes of playing with this thing that no, this is a lot easier to use and hold. Maybe not as easy to strap to your head, but
sexy. A lot easier to share from as well is a big thing.
Was that a bit of hot glue?
Yeah.
You know, the GoPro is very much record and then export it to your computer and do something with it there. The Rees, you know, take this video, take this time lapse. It's on your phone. Share it out instantly.
Yeah. I mean, I want the option to be able to skip the phone and just export it, though, too. And I've been plugging it in and going through Lightroom and stuff just because
there is easy. I mean, you can upload directly from the Ree over Wi-Fi to Dropbox. I think that is an option, but you have to pair it to the phone first and tell it to do it through the phone.
Oh, look at that. Now
once
I got
you've
this.
Done it, it will just also connect.
I got this awesome thing in my head now. Check that out.
Well, and you can also live stream to YouTube with the HTC Ree, which you'll never be able to do.
It looks like a Klingon.
So anyway, I'm going to do some stuff on the two of them in the coming weeks. So Russell, who's still over there, you have to wear that the rest of the show now. You don't have to wear it the rest of the show.
I am really hoping that I will not be blind by the end of the show.
Well, take it off. Yeah, take it off.
Why do you even need a Note 4? You could just walk around with bug eyes on all the time.
If I could see anything at all with these lenses, I would probably try and walk around. But like,
you can see the future with them, correct?
I can't see nothing. I see like it's everything is super blurry. I just had to like feel out with my hand so that I could find my beer. I'm not actually convinced that's what I'm holding.
Virtual beer.
You can take it off. You don't have to wear it the rest of the show. So how are you enjoying that thing?
I haven't gotten to use it yet.
Oh, yeah.
That's my fault.
It's super comfortable, though. I mean, like, when we talk about how this thing compares to cardboard, one of the important things to keep in mind is that even the versions of cardboard that have the straps that you can put on your head, will never be anywhere near as comfortable as this thing.
No, I mean, you're not supposed to be wearing them for more than like 10, 15, 20 minutes at a time anyway, right?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the Gear VR apps include like extended video plays where you could, in theory, like sit on your couch and watch a concert.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that the limiting factor on the Gear VR right now is that the phone will overheat and tell you that it's not going to go any further well before you get uncomfortable from wearing it.
The newer version of that actually has fans fitted, doesn't it?
One very low RPM fan, yeah.
You're kidding.
Oh, no, we knew this back at MWC.
Man.
And the fan is not for keeping the phone cool, though. It's to keep the lenses from getting fogged from.
Yeah, it's for you
because the foam is so the foam on the front is so tight, you know, of course, to block out light and get you focused in that the lenses will fog from your perspiration.
Yeah, it's the same kind of fan that you get from some of the higher end paintball masks.
Okay.
Yep.
Same exact concept.
My kids are really enjoying cardboard. I mean, to the point where I have to, you know, tell my 4-year-old, you probably shouldn't be staring through that thing for more than like 2 minutes.
And you don't want to hand your 4-year-old a $200 VR headset.
No.
How about a little piece of cardboard?
Yeah.
No, we have no idea what the
long-term effects are.
What the consumer price for these is going to be. It's important to keep in mind that the Note 4 version that I have and the S6 version that Andrew has, neither of these are consumer products. These are developer kits.
Well, they're innovator editions that you can get your hands on.
Yeah, I mean they're developer kits. They're not trying to sell them to consumers. They're not putting them in Best Buy stores.
They come with a fan. They're not for consumers.
Well, they put the Note 4 version in AT&T stores and some Best Buys, but it's not like it's sitting. They're putting them in Best Buys as a see what this is, not try it out and then pick one up off the shelf.
Right.
Speaking of developer things as consumer products, that makes me think of Google Glass. Did you see? I think Droid Life found something that was labeled like GG2 or something like that in the FCC. Do you think we're going to see a new version of Glass this year?
Well, we have to see a new one, even if it remains a developer product.
I think it would be super early, given like how long it's been since Tony Fadell took over and all the posturing they made about how they were, you know, shelving it until they could figure out what's going on. I get that there was already a version 2 well in development before he took over. And yes, Jerry, there's a mark
you're
on my
Klingon
forehead,
too. I'm trying not to laugh.
but yeah, it's super early for that kind of thing, I would think. So I would be surprised, excited, especially because I'm still a pretty big fan of mine, but I would definitely be surprised.
Well, Phil, you asked me why they have to update it. Mm-hmm. The same reason we have to update the Moto 360. The software has moved on and the hardware just isn't going to keep up very much longer. So if you want to continue development of new features, you need hardware that's capable of running these new features.
I was also thinking of all the companies that were, especially like airlines, you know, we have developed an app for Google Glass and we'll be using it. No, you're not. And you're never going to. It was a press release. That's it. Stop it.
I mean, there's a difference between something going through the FCC and something being a retail product, right? Is the potential there for it just to have gone through the FCC for the benefit of maybe extended testing outside of Google?
Well, and the FCC, let's be perfectly clear about the FCC thing. The only reason that people think that it's for Glass is because it was white text on a black background in a rectangle that was relatively similar to the kind of thing that you would see in a menu screen on Google Glass. There was no firm indicator one way or another. This is we're doing a lot of guessing here.
And the letters GG.
So. And it doesn't tell you anything interesting.
Yeah.
See, I played too many console games. GG means good, Grub.
Right. Anyway, just asking.
Well, you know what? I think they have bigger plans than we think for Google Glass as a platform that's going to extend outside of strapping it to your face.
Well, Android Wear still hasn't really grown beyond a watch, and it was always sort of meant to be more than that, right?
Right. We're dealing with the products we have now and the ideas of how they can advance, but there are other, man, give me a dock that I can put Google Glass in and it projects onto a smart screen on my windshield. Boom. That's the kind of stuff that can be expanded, and it's not that difficult to do now that the original concepts have been figured out. So I really think that the next version we see of Google Glass is not going to be a consumer focused version. It's going to be another developer model, and that's just a guess.
Wasn't there something in like Kickstarter or something, a HUD that was like that?
Yeah, and I think Garmin makes a dock for one of their phones that'll, you know, put stuff up on your windshield. But
various car manufacturers do.
Yeah, I'm in a smart piece of glass based down in the corner of your windshield that communicates with your phone. That's Google Glass, but on a larger scale.
Let's see. Jean-Paul has a question. Does taking a photo directly in an app like Perfectly Clear produce better results than taking a photo with a stock camera and then letting Perfectly Clear clean it up after? Perfectly Clear, would the app get access to the raw data, the raw file?
Only if the image is captured in raw would that be the case. And you know, Perfectly Clear is one of those rare situations where they use their own software for doing stuff, but they're still relying on the base firmware to take the picture. So it's the stuff that you take in perfectly clear in theory can be done with the stock camera. I don't know that that means that the stuff taken in the stock camera can then be done in perfectly clear, if that makes sense.
If I'm thinking right about the API, perfectly clear camera in the app could very well take raw data, you know, from a supported phone and use that to expose a better picture. But I don't know if they do it that way. I think it's possible. And if that's not how they're doing it, let's hope they do that in a future version, because yes, that could produce better pictures than trying to just reevaluate the data that your phone software, or, you know, the camera software on your phone has put together. That's a good question that I'm going to ask them about.
Cedric wants to know if any of us has tried the new material design themes from Samsung and Samsung's theme store.
So, first of all, they're not from Samsung. You got to remember that. This is a third-party developer that came up with a quote-unquote material theme for the S6. And yes, I put it on there, and no, it doesn't turn your Galaxy S6 into a Nexus.
I love it when Andrew doesn't like something. I can't be the only one.
I mean, the problem was people jumped to conclusions assuming that it was going to be like this remove all vestiges of TouchWiz and replace it with, a lollipop-looking interface. But really, there are two main issues. One is if you've ever used the theme engine in the Galaxy S6, you know that it can only theme things that the Samsung system touches. So it can only theme the icons for like the dialer and the calendar and things like that if you're using the TouchWiz launcher. So because that's the only thing it can control. So if you want to, for example, use the Google Now launcher while you're using a theme, you're not going to get any of the icons that are associated with that theme. So, which is just a long-term issue with icon packs and everything like that. There's always going to be something that doesn't look right because it's built for a different system. The other issue is that all it's doing is just changing the look of the TouchWiz assets that are already there. So, like, your notification shade doesn't change into a lollipop one. It's just the Samsung notification shade with different buttons. And it's just the Samsung setting screen with different colors and buttons. So it all works the same way that your Galaxy S6 is always going to work. It's just different colors and different icons.
And I feel like given how much of the Nexus experience is now in the Play Store, with the clock come out recently, it was the Google Now launch was the big one. It's right. Almost like the best way to get a more Nexus-like experience on a GS6 is to download and install those apps rather than bothering with trying to skin TouchWiz.
Yeah, I get a better Nexus-like experience by downloading the Google Now launcher, the Google Keyboard, the Google Clock, and Google Calendar than I do by installing a theme from the theme store. And the biggest thing is that if you've already done things like you've downloaded the Google Calendar, you have two apps in your app drawer that both have the same exact icon, because now your stock calendar has a themed icon to look like the Google one, but when you tap and the camera too, it's still going to open the Samsung calendar. So it's still going to look the exact same as the Samsung calendar with a different color. And like I said, the same thing comes from the the notification shade. So the notification shade, that's not a lollipop notification shade. It's just been retooled with some material colors, you know, white and dark blue, and then that kind of more fluorescent blue. And, you know, the same thing goes for the settings. Sure, it looks kind of similar to lollipop, but it's not going to fool anybody. I mean, it's just different icons and different colors. And that's, I'm not interested in continuing to use it, honestly.
You know what I do if I want a Nexus experience? This.
Right, you just take this out and use it instead.
I don't hate it. It's certainly not nearly as impressive as everyone was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we were waiting from day one, like how many third party developers are going to get in on this and like actually release a full material whatever theme. But like Alex said, you're never going to be able to change the apps. I mean, changing the icons to look like they do on a Nexus 6. Is completely lost when you just open the apps and now they don't work the same. You know, who cares?
I also think the folders, like I was actually kind of sad that you didn't bring this up. The folders are about the least material thing you could possibly get, even with this theme. So you've got this weird grid, because that's what Samsung tells you that you can do. So you've got that sixth grid, and in this material theme, it's not even got like a border around it. It's just a weird grid, and then when you tap it, that's totally a Samsung folder. It's not even remotely a material folder.
So I mean, that brings up the general point. It doesn't change how anything works. It only changes how it looks.
Now, in defense of the people who made this theme and Samsung, and yeah, I'm defending Samsung, you don't want a user-installable theme to have permissions to change all that other stuff.
No, of course not.
This is by design, and this is just how it has to be.
It's the exact same thing as when you go in and install the Hello Kitty theme, or you install the black and white sketchbook theme or anything. It's just changing how it looks. You still got to be happy with the way that Samsung makes the software work. And so the big thing is that this isn't... Don't buy the GS6 because this theme now exists. You know what I mean? You need to understand that it's just going to work the same way, and you're probably going to be just as happy. I mean, you're not going to be happy with this theme on the GS6 if what you really want is what you get on a Moto X or a Nexus 6.
I think there's kind of a reality distortion field anytime you hear the words material mentioned.
Right.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It's not terrible.
It is material. It does have those design concepts in the colors and the way that it removes shadows and things like that. Like, that's definitely the case.
And it's kind of the case because that's the way TouchWiz itself is a bit material these days, isn't it? So we're building on top of that.
This just changes the colors so it looks more like lollipops in a understanding of material design.
Fair enough. Jamie wants to know, why fight over who's going to review the Android BlackBerry if it's ever built? Did y'all forget about Kevin Metulik? I'm sorry, who?
Never heard of this person ever.
Nope.
Because if you worked with Andrew, you would understand just how fun it will be to make Andrew review this BlackBerry Android phone. That's the only reason.
I actually really like the BlackBerry Slider Venice, whatever, and I could write that.
Mitch asks, so if BlackBerry goes the Android manufacturer route, what happens to CrackBerry? Who?
Oh, I didn't say it. It wasn't me.
CrackBerry is, they already cross over into the Android space all the time with Android apps and things like that. So
they've got
a wonderful example to follow. That's what happens.
Anything more that they can write about is better.
Eric wants to know, I'm getting ready to pull the trigger on the LG G4, but I'm having a hard time finding a minimal bumper case that doesn't cover the leather back. Is there one you'd recommend, or should I go au naturel?
I think you're fine to go au naturel for a while, but I will probably be joining you in that particular quest over the next week.
So. Yeah, you and I, show them your phone. Do you have it sitting there still?
Dude,
you and I were
the camera to focus on that.
Yeah, Russell's is worse than mine.
I have battle damage. Rough.
So how did that happen? Is that just
I don't know? So I pulled it out of my pocket.
Did your phone owe someone money?
I'm pretty sure there was a black bear in here. Hold my beer. Watch this.
Mine's not.
I pulled it out of my pocket, and it was just there was like a bubble under the leather. I don't know what how it could have gotten there or whatever, but when I touched it, like all that top layer of leather just flaked away.
Now mine's not quite that bad, but you can definitely see it on the edges there.
So much for all that vegetable tanning.
Well, I mean, look, at least you can swap out the back if you want.
Because here's the difference with that. You're going to get the edges are going to take some damage like on Phil's because it wraps over the edges. Unlike on the Moto X, you have the metal edge and the leather goes up against it. So it's not going to take as much contact. And leather is soft. It's gonna take damage.
And just the properties of the material means it's gonna age. But I mean, I've got black leather here. You can kind of tell a little bit. You get wear along the top corners. The rest of it is turned out pretty well. We'll see how long that lasts. But something you have to deal with when you're working with leather, I guess.
But to go back to the original question, I don't think I've seen any just edge bumpers for the G4. There are clear cases and thin cases. I haven't seen anything that's just a bumper around the edge.
I think it's going to be a little tough just because of the shape of the thing.
I mean, for most phones, it is. Obviously, you can get a bumper on something like the GS6 that's flat and pretty consistent all the way around. The G4 is not the same thickness or all the way around.
I was going to say, as soon as you say that, I'm going to look in shopandroid.com and they're going to have bumper cases.
That's very possible. I hate the G4 anyway, so it doesn't need a bumper to sit on my desk.
Let's see. I'm just seeing big normal cases. So,
Russell, get together with Thingverse. Get rich.
No, I tell you what you get. Get the Folio case. I mean, it's not quite like having a back, like a case with an actual back to it, but the front's protected. You can take it off and put the normal backpack on it if you want.
Or you put a plastic back on it.
Yeah.
You could find a cheap replacement plastic back, I'm sure, and pop it on there.
Go to YouTube. You can find videos where people have taken balloons and halfway inflated them and stuck their phone in them and then let the air out, and it makes a really nice rubber bumper around the side back.
Phone okay. Condoms.
Then do you throw it in a blender after that? That's usually how those videos go.
Oh.
I watch things.
We didn't get any voicemails this week. That makes me sad.
Dang.
We're already breaking the streak.
Good ones last couple weeks, too.
I'm going to pick somebody out of the... Okay, Carl Collins.
Yes.
Send us a voicemail next week. You. Send us a voicemail.
You, only because he was screaming Slider Nexus and Viewmaster.
Right. I want to hear his voicemail.
Yeah.
He's just going to say Slider Nexus.
Yeah, where's that Viewmaster? I saw Mattel was showing it off at... Was it the International Toy Show or whatever? Something in New York a few weeks ago.
They have always said autumn 2015.
Oh, okay.
I want it now.
I look for it, too, when we were starting to talk about cardboard. I'm like, oh, heck yeah, I'm getting Phil to buy me one of these. And they're not available, and they never were supposed to be.
I do want something that's a little more robust because my kids are already tearing up cardboard.
Like, right.
I've already bought more.
Back in February, man.
It's almost like it's a Huawei watch.
I'm going to make one. This ought to be good.
So, yeah, no
Huawei watch.
No voicemails. It makes me sad. We're breaking the streak already. I did get a good question via email. Daniel says, I currently have an S6, and while it's the best phone I ever owned, I'm missing the Nexus experience. I have the opportunity for my mom to take the phone and take over the payments on it, but in the meantime, what is this thing, a car? Don't get Russell started. I need a device to carry with me until the next wave of Nexus device comes out, and then I can decide to go Nexus 6 or to the new ones. I could take her M7, or I could buy a used Nexus 5 in the meantime. Also, there are devices like the Moto G and Moto E that are good carryovers. My question is, what would you personally do in that situation? Keep the older M7, get a Nexus 5, or buy a cheap burner phone till the next Nexus comes out?
I would if I wanted a Nexus experience to tide me over for 6 months, I would buy one of the Idol 3s. First off, I'd check Swappa and see if somebody wants to sell one used. That is as close to a Nexus experience that you're going to get without spending Moto X money.
I was going to say Moto X, but...
Yeah, that, or, I mean, if you can get hold of a cheap Nexus 5 now, there's some mucking around if you potentially would save a bit of money there compared to the Moto X.
And I would agree until I have to charge my Nexus 5 at 6 o'clock at night and my Idol 3 lasts me till tomorrow.
Yeah, but he's got a Galaxy S6, so he's already used to that.
Yeah, but if you give... Oh!
God, that was easy.
Dang, you were just on your feet.
So
he
easy.
He had that loaded up. He was ready to go.
Don't forget to look at that phone is all I'm saying. It is one of those things that the value exceeds the price, even if you had to buy it new.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But... I would say the same about the Nexus 5, even with the battery situation. The fact that they were sold for so cheap, you can find them new in box for like $240, $220 on eBay. You have these resellers that just have piles of them. They're selling hundreds and hundreds of them for less than retail.
Jesse has a question. Love the show and wondering if you heard anything about AT&T getting Wi-Fi calling. I'm always jealous of this feature that T-Mobile customers have. Found this article from CNET that said AT&T was getting Wi-Fi calling in 2015. Well, it's still 2015.
Yeah, AT&T still hasn't broken down and admitted that their network is... Well, somebody's driving their car fast outside. AT&T hasn't given up on saying that their network isn't good enough to give you service everywhere. T-Mobile finally just said, okay, we're going to commit to Wi-Fi calling everywhere and we're going to sell you a home router that'll work with it.
Well, I mean,
AT&T is still very much, you have to call and complain and get a microcell.
For a long time, especially if you'd go to these CTIA shows that we go to and you sit through the day one keynotes, that was always just really kind of low level carrier stuff. You know, they were always saying how Wi-Fi had to be their future because there just wasn't enough bandwidth. And I get that part of that was a play to free up to get them to open up, more auctions and stuff. But
more to the point, like GSM is a really bad use of that spectrum these days when you could be using it for actual data.
Right. Well, that's why they're also moving to voice over LTE. But that also just opens it up to me. Once you go to voice over LTE, it makes it really easy for you to start just routing calls over Wi-Fi instead. I mean, that's exactly how T-Mobile's handling it.
On the flip side, it's a good thing that AT&T didn't jump on the bandwagon when T-Mobile and Sprint did it. Let companies like Apple and Google bake a native way to do that into the software on their products, and then AT&T makes it work rather than build their own system that requires modifications. I know that doesn't help you if you want it now, but future-proof, it's better.
I mean, that's where we're at on Project Fi right now. It does not care what network you're on, whether it's Wi-Fi, T-Mobile, or Sprint. It'll just call through the native phone dialer, and you don't know the difference. So it's there, and there's not even a setting or any way to handle it. It just calls.
How's Project Fi going?
It's an extra app.
How's Project Fi going for you, by the way?
It works. It's a carrier, which is cool. I mean, that's the whole point. You don't want to have to mess with it too much.
Right.
I'm starting this next week to write up more stuff and try to kind of explain for those who don't have it, which everybody pretty much doesn't have it, explain how it works when you come from Google Voice and all that stuff. But the biggest thing I can say is that it just works as a phone. It works for data. The website is simple. The app is simple. It's easy to manage. You know, it's not price competitive, but it's user experience competitive, which is good.
And with that, I think I'm going to call it. Because
what are you going to call it?
That's a good question.
Who are you going to call?
Oh, my kids are asking me about Ghostbusters so much. I think they're starting to hear about the new movie, and they want to watch the old ones. They're not quite old enough. I don't think, like, 8, almost 9, I don't think that's quite old enough for Ghostbusters yet.
I'm thinking of a couple scenes, and I think you're right.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, because, God, what a good movie. We'll see. Maybe yep. I'll break down, and we'll see. All right, as we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. As we mentioned, they have cases and stuff. You should go buy them because it supports us and it makes us happy. Hey, by the way, speaking of supporting us, pushed out a pretty important update to our app just today, actually. I just fired it up to 50% of the native population of California.
Phil now likes to be at the reins there. He has control over who gets it and who doesn't.
I do, right? And then I have so little patience, though, because, like, I think I pushed it out to 10% last night and got it in the office this morning. It's like, you know what? Let's get more on this thing, because it's important fixes.
That doesn't guarantee that they're going to go install it.
No, actually, I think
the people have access to it.
I think we were at, like, 50%. We're on the current version. I can look right now, actually. But no, a couple important updates in this. One is Samsung multi-window support, because I know a lot of people were asking that, and that's finally in there. The other is, I think, and I need to hear from some more people, but we tested it a lot, and I think it finally killed those crashes that people were getting when you're coming to stories.
I read through the comments on that announcement post last night, and there were people that said they opened dozens and dozens of Google Plus links to double check, and it seems to work.
Yeah.
So that's a great sign.
Hallelujah.
I mean, everybody has to know that we were frustrated with it too.
Absolutely.
You know, we were opening links from Google Plus onto our app all the time.
So I mean, said a lot of things that Phil's kids couldn't hear.
Accept Andrew's most sincere apologies for that. But we've been breaking in a new developer, and it's not easy. I wish I could fix this stuff myself, and I can't. So those were the two important things. So if you're not on 1.8.4 yet, you know, stay tuned. It's coming. I just want to make sure it, like, hasn't totally broken stuff. And then we'll push it out for all our other Android apps as well. We are absolutely getting the ball rolling on a material design and just a whole revamp of the app. So that's exciting. You know, it's going to take a little while still. But we're going. We're getting there. I don't have anything to show yet. So so there's that. Otherwise, hope everybody has /had, for those listening this after the weekend, a good holiday weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us. Anything else? Anything important from you guys?
We will have a review of the Sony Xperia Z3 Plus on Monday.
And this one's been kind of interesting, right?
A little bit, and we still need to hear back from Sony on some stuff because there's some weirdness going on with the way the CPU has been managed, I think, by some of the firmware. Interesting phone. The name says a lot about it. It's a sort of halfway upgrade beyond the original Z3. There's a lot that it does very well. There is some weirdness, some jank. There are temperature issues, has been widely reported, especially in the camera. A lot I like about the design. They've finally got, I think, the omnibalance thing to a place where it is what they originally wanted it to be, which is just a way that the design basically gets out of the way and lets you focus on the screen. But there are some kind of technical issues. Some areas have been pared back. The battery is smaller compared to the last generation, so battery life isn't as good. And the camera really hasn't been upgraded. The rear camera, at least, hasn't really been upgraded since the Z3. That's something they kind of needed to address, and they haven't this time around. You know, Sony makes good stuff. I think this generation has been a bit of a strange one for them. Hopefully, with whatever's next, maybe later in the year or early next year, they can get back on form because they can make some very nice stuff when they want to.
Cool. So look for that this week. Otherwise, go forth and celebrate America. America! Except for Alex. Alex doesn't have to. Alex is exempt.
Alex can just go have a normal dinner. Everybody else barbecue.
I'm going to barbecue hot dogs tonight and express ship them across the ocean, Dad.
You do that.
All right. Alex, Jerry, Russell, Andrew, everybody at home, everybody watching the video, everybody here live. Hi, everybody. How's it going? Thanks, and see you next week.